Our scripture passage is from Matthew chapter 28. Listen now for God's holy word. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. And let all God's people say, Amen. As I read the gospel story, the detail that stood out to me, the detail to which God drew my attention, was the greeting that Jesus gave to his friends on that first Easter morning. That morning, the women had gone down to the tomb. They were going with hearts that were full of sorrow and grief. And alongside their mournfulness, there must have also been fear. Their friend and their teacher had just been arrested, condemned, and put to death. Surely, if they were associated with this man, they too ran some risk. If they were found out to be out in Jerusalem, and especially out visiting Jesus' grave. When they make it to the tomb, something unexpected unfolds. An angel descends from heaven. The large stone at the entrance of the tomb is rolled away, and the guards stationed there collapse like dead men. The angel tells the women astonishing news that Jesus is not there, but that he is risen as he said he would. And the women are told to go and tell Jesus' disciples. As they go, Matthew tells us that they go with great joy, but also with fear. Their hearts were like a churning laundry machine that is overwhelmed with a mix of recent sorrows along with fears and joys and their wonders and their doubts and their hopes. Then suddenly, as they are on their way, Jesus himself appears to them, and his first word to them is, "Kaiiro," greetings, greetings. Jesus greets them with a standard, traditional, and a normal greeting. He says, "Hi. Kaiiro, hail, salute, how are you? Good morning." As I read this passage this week, I couldn't help but think that Jesus' greeting sounds foolish to these women whose hearts are churning wildly with all of this disappointment and sorrow and excitement and joy and fear. Jesus' chipper early morning greeting, it comes across in a childish way. "What do you mean, greetings? Don't you know what has happened? Don't you understand how confused and mixed up and strange everything is right now? How can you just say good morning in a time like this, in times like these?" Jesus' chipper and happy greeting, it made me think about how strange our standard greetings have felt in this era of coronavirus in which we find ourselves. We have a common way of greeting one another where we say, "How's it going?" or "How are you?" Even now, when we see someone at a safe distance of 6 feet or when we talk to someone over the phone, we ask this question almost reflexively. The words tumble out of our mouths before we realize how strange it is to ask, "How are you? How's it going?" in the middle of a pandemic. How's it going? You mean in quarantine? When my friends and my family are in danger, when hospitals are nearly at their breaking point, when doing simple errands like filling the car with gas or going out to the bank makes me feel like I'm risking my life. How do I feel? How's it going? When I worry about going to the grocery store and when I do, it looks like a ghoulish scene from a movie? How am I doing? You mean while people are losing their jobs and when kids can't go to school and while we're all essentially locked at home? Here on my online services and Bible studies, there is this overwhelming desire to open things up in a way that is happy and chipper. There is a desire to greet you all with an upbeat greeting to try and pull everyone out of the doldrums in which we find ourselves. There is a deep desire in me, and I suspect in everyone who is leading services or putting on shows or hosting Zoom meetings, there's this desire to be a happy MC, to say, "Hi, friend. It's good to see you. Everyone's good, right? Right?" In my experience, all this chipper positivity falls flat. It's like a thin coating of sugary icing on a cake that everyone knows is made out of broccoli and beans. It's sweet, but it can't hide the true reality of the bitterness of our situation. It's not only here in this strange experience of leading worship in a classroom without a congregation. Every greeting now is full of strangeness and heaviness. I'm a member of our local Rotary Club, and we have been having our weekly meetings over Zoom, and the MCs of those meetings have been doing their best to keep the meetings upbeat and positive as we discuss all of our canceled plans and postponed events. Each week, near the beginning of the meeting, we engage in a ritual called Happy Dollars. It's a chance for everyone to stand up and to donate a dollar for every individual thing that they want to highlight that is making them happy. People typically share about birthdays, celebrations of anniversaries, recent weddings of their children, the births or birthdays of their grandchildren. I typically share a dollar for upcoming church events and milestones that my daughters have reached. We've been doing Happy Dollars over our Zoom meetings, and everyone is doing their best to make the experience like it was before the pandemic, but our sorrows, our regrets, our troubles have overwhelmed our happiness. What is supposed to be a time full of laughter and congratulations has turned into a check-in time where we share about our disappointments and our regrets and our condolences. As we explain how we've had to lay off our staff, or how we've had to cancel the party for a 45th wedding anniversary, or how a son's wedding has been postponed till the fall, or how a parent or an uncle or a friend has fallen ill and has passed away. It doesn't matter how many times the MC encourages everyone to be cheery or to keep smiling, the sorrows overwhelm our happiness. The women at Jesus' tomb, they are not happy. The disciples locked in their own version of social isolation, they are not happy. The world around Jesus was not happy, and yet his salutation is full of cheer. He says, "Greetings." When Jesus says greetings, it sounds so happy, so cheerful. He sounds so excited, and he has good reason to be happy and cheerful and excited. There is a reason why Jesus' greeting doesn't seem to meet the women's current experience, for Jesus is greeting them from a radically different experience. It is an experience which the women and the disciples and the world around him does yet not know or understand. Jesus is saying greetings from a brand new reality. Jesus is standing on new ground, for he has experienced resurrection. And in that resurrection, Jesus has proven out the promises of God to be true. Throughout God's interactions with God's people, God made wonderful promises, promises which God's people always hoped were true, promises in which God's people did their best to put their faith and their trust. God had said that God would never leave or forsake God's beloved children and servants. God had promised to shepherd them through everything, even through the darkest valleys and the valley of the shadow of death. God had promised to be and to dwell with God's people always, and that nothing would be able to separate God's people from God's love. And Jesus' experience on the cross and in the resurrection, Jesus' experience had borne those promises out as true, as worthy of our trust. Jesus had faced every trouble and every enemy. Jesus had faced Satan and sin and the forces of spiritual evil. He had faced the earthly enemies and troubles. He had faced torture of the Roman Empire and its cross. Jesus had faced a family that was embarrassed of him, friends who abandoned him, a religious establishment that rejected him. He faced a crowd and a city of people calling for his crucifixion. Jesus faced brokenness and death itself, even death on a cross, a death that the law of Moses deemed a cursed way to die. Jesus faced every threat, every obstacle, every terror, every horror, even the darkest valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus found that God was faithful to God's promises. Though he suffered, and though he experienced death, even death on a cross, on the other side, God gave Jesus victory. God raised him up to a new life, free from the fear or the sting of the power of death. For in his resurrection, death was shown not to be the condemnation of God, but a force and a power that paled in comparison to the power of God's life-giving love. God raised Jesus up and put him on new ground, a new reality. And it is from that new reality that Jesus greets this Easter morning. When Jesus says greetings to his new friends, to his friends, he was greeting them from this vantage point within this new reality, a new world full of peace and hope and joy, and a new world full of assurance. For that reason, Jesus' greeting was and is jarring. It was and is strange, for it is a greeting from a completely new and a different world. This morning, Jesus greets us with this same jarring greeting. And Jesus invites us to remember that through the gift of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, we too have a place on this strange and wonderful new ground and in this strange and wonderful new reality from which Jesus greets the dawning light. God raised him up and gave him new life and put his feet squarely on the dirt and the grass of this new reality. And through our faith, and through God's Holy Spirit, Jesus' new life, his new reality, it becomes our life and our new reality as well. Through our faith and through the power and inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, we are invited to remember and to believe that though we might suffer and even though we might die, and though the world around us swirls and churns with fears and sorrows and troubles, our feet have been placed squarely in the dirt and the grass of a new reality, where by faith and by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we are assured that we are in the care and the protection of a God whose life-giving love is stronger than any power and any troubles in the heavens above or here on the earth below. And we too can greet this world with a cheerful greeting. Christ greets us and our world with a childlike joy. He greets us saying greetings, and he welcomes us to the joy of this new life. In thanksgiving and praise, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.